Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
That's smart on their part, right? So when you lose a corner, usually that's what people do. And again, like I said, I thought that they were doing a good job of getting the ball in the perimeter, testing our corners, and we couldn't get enough pressure on the quarterback where those two worked together, right? Whether we blitzed or went with a four-man rush. And then he scrambled and extended some plays there too. We need to do a better job there. So that's really what it came down to.
Bills head coach Sean McDermott. I don't know if we'll hear from Sean McDermott today. Brandon Bean, we usually get an end-of-year press conference from both of them pretty soon after the season. My guess is that will happen tomorrow. I mean, it could happen later today. We haven't heard any word on that, but we will get players today in some capacity over in the locker room for locker cleanout. Always a tough day. Whether you don't make the playoffs, you're losing the wild card, divisional, or the championship, locker cleanout's always a tough day when your last game ends with a loss to end your season when a win could have advanced it. Sal Capaccio with you on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on a Buffalo Football Monday here on WGR, presented by Catholic Health, the right way to care, and brought to you by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com. You heard Sean McDermott right there talk about Christian Benford. The Barnes Firm Injury Report, brought to you by the Barnes Firm. Injured? For help, call 1-800-8-MILLION. Starts with Christian Benford and really ends there because he was the only one that really we had any injury updates on yesterday. And obviously dealing with the concussion all week through protocol, and then he gets hit and is concussed yesterday, and it was a bad scene. It was just tough to watch him being held up by trainers, the athletic training staff, being loaded into the cart, taken off the field. And then, you know, you feel so bad for Christian, who the first 2 years of his career, he did deal with a couple injuries. This year, he's been healthy. And then, obviously, that happened the last 2 weeks. And the first one was on an onside kick. And then this one was friendly fire from Damar Hamlin. Very tough to see that. Kyrie Elam goes into the game, and the Chiefs definitely, you know, went after him. He didn't have any answers. Kyrie Elam is going into the final year of his rookie deal next year. I just can't see the Bills having Kyer Elam for one more year and then him walking in free agency. Unless you just can't get anything for him at all, which might be the case, I would think this would be the year you'd might want to at least give him a fresh start and get some sort of draft pick for him in the offseason. That might be what you're looking at. And they could just go into the last year of his deal with him. As a rookie contract, and then, you know, you're not going to extend him, I wouldn't think, after what you've seen from him for 3 years. But the Bills have 12 unrestricted free agents. I posted them at Sal Sports on X if you'd like to look at that. 803-0550 is the number to call. Let's go to Tom in Tonawanda. Hi, Tom.
Hi, Sal. I am just an AFL fan. Not an AFC, but AFL. My dad took me down to the first championship game before the first Super Bowl. So I'm going to be rooting for Patrick Mahomes in the Super Bowl. I die and I bleed red and blue, but I'm an AFL guy. But the question I want to ask you, I thought Matt Smiley, the special teams coach, has been on borrowed time for the last 2 years. Do you think it's possible that they may look at Pete Lembo from UB, who's got a special teams background? I'm just going to hang up and listen.
Well, hold on. No. Hold on. I don't think I've ever heard of a college head coach just elevating to be a special teams coordinator of the NFL. I don't think that would be an option, no. Pete Lembo is very good at specialties. He's also a very good head coach at UB. He's got a really good gig there.
Win-win situation. I mean, he's got...
No, but not for Pete Lembo. No, Pete Lembo, listen, I can't speak for him. I highly, 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 highly doubt Pete Lembo would be interested in doing something like that.
Yeah. Well, I guess I just wonder, because he does have a special teams...
Right. Well, let's just take it. Let's take the other part of your question, though. I agree with you. The Bills could make a change on special teams. I just want to just get Pete Lembo's name out of there. Like he's got a good gig at UB. Took him to a bowl game. Did a nice job. He's a head coach at a Division I school in football. He's not taking a special teams coordinator's job in the NFL. But if you want to talk about moving on from Matthew Smiley, I definitely think that could be something the Bills look at. They're not moving on from Bobby Babich or Joe Brady. And last year, not to my knowledge, I don't think they will. And last year, Sean McDermott had a new defensive coordinator and then a sort of new offensive coordinator. And as Chris Brown has said many times, I'll give him credit for saying this point, that he felt that Sean probably didn't want to really change all three coordinators in 1 year if he was even going to do that or thought about it. This would be different. It would be one coordinator. And they have had issues on special teams. I wouldn't be surprised if that happens. And by the way, Tom, I will not be rooting for Patrick Mahomes in the Super Bowl. I'll be rooting for Nick Sirianni, as much as he's polarizing. He's a Western New Yorker, went to Southwestern High School. He's from Jamestown. I know the family a little bit. Got to know Nick a couple of times over the years. More friends with his brother Jay, but I know that's a really good family, good football family. And obviously, I'd root against Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs anyway. So that just ups the ante for me. Let's go to Mike in Pennsylvania. Hi, Mike.
Hey, Sal. How are you?
Good, thanks.
Tough Monday. I said it at the beginning of the season. I thought we were, you know, up against the wall with our safeties at the beginning of the season. And look how it played out at the end of the season. But, boy, oh, boy, time and time again, when do we start, you know, looking at Sean McDermott? Because I don't feel confident going into these games that we're going to out-coach the opposition. And when we go against somebody like Andy Reid, we are constantly outcoached. I mean, I'm not advocating to fire Sean McDermott, but we've got to change something here because we are just wasting Josh Allen's prime years away. And in no world should Josh Allen have no Super Bowl appearances heading into year eight. So.
Well, let me ask you, Mike. Who's out there? Who would you want to bring in as a head coach? Because you sound like you are advocating for firing him, which is fine if you want to do that. But tell me what you're looking for, because especially this late in the process, when you get to a championship game, if you fire your coach, who's available?
Well, here's the one thing, and I got asked that question earlier today by a friend. I would not make my decision impacted by that question that you just asked me. If I'm going to let him go, I'm going to let him go, and then I'll figure it out. I'm not going to say, we need to keep him because I don't.
Well, then you just want anyone different then, and I think that you have to have a better plan. That's the difference. Like, you just want to just get rid of him and have anybody different. I would say, I think you need a better plan because you're talking about the second winningest coach in the NFL over the last 7 years who consistently does get to the playoffs. And yes, I get it. They can't get over this team. Neither have the Ravens. The Bengals did 1 year, I guess, right? But all of these teams who can't win a Super Bowl in the AFC, other than the Chiefs, are they firing their coaches too because of this?
Well, I mean, it depends. I mean, if we want to sit here and be mediocre, mediocrity in the playoffs and not, you know, go toe-to-toe, then be, you know, we used to say purgatory, quarterback purgatory, be head coach purgatory at the same thing. I just feel you should have a contingency plan going into the offseason if he fails in the playoffs. And if the Bills don't...
Okay, well, then you just answered your... But then you're contradicting yourself, is my point, Mike. What's your contingency plan? Who's there? You just said you don't care. You said you figured out later. That's not a contingency plan.
Well, I mean, I would still have somebody that I would be interviewing or on a radar, you know, like a plan B. But, like, I mean, I would dip into the college ranks. I can't sit here anymore and watch probably the best football player I've ever watched in any uniform, let alone a Bills uniform, sit here and get ran by a defensive coach and then put us in situations where we fail time and time again. So let me ask you this, Sal. Yesterday, we lived this year off the tush push. I mean, that was our bread and butter. You saw it wasn't working against them, and I knew it when you lined up. So at what point does McDermott not say, hey, man, let's not do this. I would rather run a play out of shotgun or whatever instead of doing that. There has to be some accountability from Sean McDermott to override a situation like that and put us in a better chance to win. It's just sad time and time again. Like I said, there's a lot of good things Sean McDermott's done, but when it matters, there is definitely stuff to be left, to be desired on his coaching decisions in pressure moments. And I mean, do you agree with that?
Yeah, I don't think there was any. I do think that the defense has failed, and he's a defensive coach. I do not think yesterday there was any game management decision he failed at, though, specifically. You could point to a couple things here or there that are debatable. Maybe a two-point conversion, but they went for it from the one. I don't know. I mean, listen, we went over this earlier, Mike, that I agree with you. The tush-push, probably you should have changed it up. But they said earlier this year against the Rams, and they were right, it's the best play we have in that situation. You got to get it. You got to be able to block it and push them forward. But I don't think there was anything specific I'm pointing to about game management decisions from yesterday.
Well, so the Chiefs went in there thinking, hey, this is their bread and butter. We're going to stop this play. And they game planned for it.
They did.
Why can't we do something like that?
I agree. Hey, I agree with that. Look what Mahomes did on those fourth downs. He does a little reverse out, roll out, gets easy yards. I think they just stuck. They were just too stubborn, I guess, Mike. I guess that's the answer to your question. You know what I mean?
Listen, I'm not giving up on the Bills, and especially in the Josh Allen era. I just want a little better in tough situations like the 90s Bills. Those guys stepped on the field. They always thought they were going to win, especially against AFC opponents.
You know what's funny about that, Mike, though, is, you know, I've left you on a long time, and I apologize to the other callers, but it's a good conversation. You know what's funny about that, Mike, though? I mean, I don't know. Are you old enough to remember the Super Bowls in the 90s?
Oh, yeah. I'm friends with Andre Thurman and Jim.
Okay. So you remember then. That's great. So you remember then. What was the talk after those games? Marv Levy can't win the big game. How much did we hear that?
Oh, all the time, yeah.
Right. So, I mean, but here you are saying, yeah, but like those 90s teams, what did Marv always say? That he learned as he went on coaching, everybody's going to say that when you lose a playoff game. There's a lot of big ones to get to the championship. There's a lot of big ones to get to the Super Bowl. I just say, like, that we used to hear the same thing about Marv Levy.
Yeah, we did. And he never did win the Super Bowl. I mean, that's the biggest game that...
Yep.
I mean, AFC, we kind of ran through. Well, the best competition we have right now is in the AFC. It is the Chiefs. That is the, and I wouldn't be surprised if they go on to three-peat because they're the new Patriots. And we just can't get over it.
Mike. I got to run, buddy. Thank you for the call. Good conversation. I appreciate it. I just, look, if you want to open the door to moving on from this head coach because of the past playoff failures, I just don't think that you're, what are you doing here in the 2 weeks leading up to the Super Bowl? Five teams have already hired coaches and filled out their coordinators. And I mean, what is the plan there then? It doesn't work for me to say, just go figure it out. I mean, I think you take a step back, but I understand why people say that at this point. Let's go to Sam in Rochester. Hi, Sam.
Hey, how are you?
Good. Go ahead.
Yeah. My mind tends to go towards like the strategy and like the play calling and that sort of thing. Cause I'm a coach like in a different sport and kind of like the last caller kind of stole my thunder there at the end, but just my mind, the whole game was, where's the creativity in the offensive play calling? And especially like you just said, like, could they have done a rollout on one of these fourth and ones instead of just continuing to try to pound the ball? And then just the overarching point of, do you understand, like, do you have a grasp of what the game plan was? Because in my mind, I thought that Joe Brady was going to go into his bag of tricks for this game specifically, but they just seemed to do the same thing that they did all year, which was, and it was almost working, right? Like, I'm nitpicking. It almost worked, just running the ball with Cook. But
oh yeah, I mean, they wound up, they were down 11 and then took the lead because they started running the ball well, and I thought that was a great strategy. To me, you just didn't do it early enough.
Yeah, my last question is just, did Allen miss any of these short intermediate throws that were open to him, or were they open, or was he just forcing the ball down the field?
I think that you're not getting the separation you need from some of these guys, especially against a team like the Chiefs that brings pressure and can cover very well from their corners and their safeties. Let's go to Tom in Rochester. Hi, Tom.
Hi, Phil. I listened to the last few callers, and I agree with all of them, but I think you sort of got – I like to approach this as priority – what's priority one, right? Priority one.
Yeah.
The way I see it is way back – I don't even remember when it was – when we lost to Kansas City, and then we went out the very next year specifically to go get a pass rush, and we swung and failed with Von Miller. Right.
Well, they did not swing and fail with him. He was unbelievable until he had his ACL injury.
Oh, okay, but fair enough. Okay, fair enough. But it hasn't in the moments that counted. The Buffalo Bills don't have a pressure pass rush, period. And The only way you're going to beat a high quality quarterback is with a strong pass rush. So you can go get 75 cornerbacks, but if you give him all the time in the world, it ain't happening. So my question, it just ain't happening. And that's how Brady lost his Super Bowls, and that's how Mahomes may lose this Super Bowl. But bottom line,
it's how Mahomes lost when they played when he played Brady. The Buccaneers just got to him a lot.
Okay, so here's my next question. Given that would be my priority one.
Yep.
And I need to somehow get an impact guy that can pressure the quarterback. My question is, who is available, A, and B, is there anything the Bills can give up that won't significantly hurt them? In other words, maybe it's, I mean, if you give up more.
Yeah, I get you. Let me answer the question. There's been rumors that there's been talk out there that Myles Garrett could be available and that Max Crosby could be available. If either of those are true, I would love for the Bills to take a swing on them. What would the Bills have to give up to get Myles Garrett? Probably multiple first-round draft picks. You can decide from there if you think that's worth it or not, but that's probably what they would be giving up.
Wow. Okay. Thanks, Al. That's a lot, but I think you almost got to maybe do it if you're going to, because without it, it's not happening.
No doubt. And that's been the Achilles heel when they played the Chiefs and when they played the Bengals here, obviously, a couple years ago as well. Let's go to Nick in Rochester. Three in a row from Rochester. Go ahead, Nick.
What's going on, Sal? How are you, bud?
Well, it's a tough day today, obviously.
Oh, yeah, obviously, man.
But here with you, man. I'm here with you. Go ahead, buddy.
No, for sure. Sorry if I sound a little shaky. I drank like 3 pots of coffee today to try to get through work. But no, so I'm calling in because obviously like everyone's kind of giving McDermott and Babich like kind of the wrong end of it. I mean, our defense, it's just like last year. We had no middle linebackers. Our secondary was perfect. This year, our secondary banged up. I mean, you're bringing Elam up. You know, Benford, he got injured. So we got to go man coverage there. And then you know, Elam is setting up 10 yards behind the line of scrimmage, and he's just getting beat. The way that the Kansas City Chiefs played yesterday is exactly how Tom Brady played during all those Super Bowl runs. Just chunk plays, 10 yards, 5 yards, passing. Throw a little run in there, you know. I think we got to kind of beef up our secondary. I mean, Tyler Rapp and Benford, you know, losing them, was it. That there goes our game plan. Yeah, we have Milano back, but I mean, that only goes so much. We occupied Kelsey, but Hollywood Brown and Worthy just ran all over us in the back.
Yeah, I think secondary's got to be a bit of a priority in the offseason. I do think Taylor Rapp and Cole Bishop could be a very good safety tandem going into next year, and obviously both are under contract. But I think corner is something this team has to look at. Zach, you're in the studio, right? You ready to rock and roll here for the final half hour? Sorry, I'm leaving you there. We'd have a lot of calls, though.
I've been listening to the calls. We're all good. Yeah, I slept on it. I feel all right. Football is it's a cruel mistress. We're going to get there. We're going to get there, Sal. We're fine.
Well, I'm glad you have that attitude because I'm pretty devastated today after all that.
Yeah.
And being on that field, I will tell you that remember I told you in 2020 we weren't there for the radio crew, right?
Mm-hmm.
We didn't go to the game because we weren't traveling because of COVID. And we were waiting to get into the Bills locker room after the game yesterday as the media waits around, you wait for the locker room to open. They're having the celebration on the field. And I had to decide, do I want to see any of this or not? So I did because I had never seen it before.
Yeah.
So I walked out into the tunnel. It's very much like the Bills tunnel. I walked over to the tunnel and just watched the stage, saw the confetti, heard the noise, watched for maybe 2 minutes and said, I can't do this.
Yeah,
and walked back in.
Yep. I totally get
it. It was tough.
I've seen a picture of Allen looking out at the celebration. Outside of that, I have not seen any quotes. I've kind of specifically like made sure I didn't see any of the quotes from the Chiefs, any of the videos, anything. This one is painful because it is, if you won, you're going to the Super Bowl, and it's 2 weeks of celebration. We lost, and now here we are Monday morning. It's locker cleanout day.
Yeah, and it's like, you're right. Rex Ryan was on ESPN yesterday, and he said he lost 3 championship games in a row, and I guess that would make sense. Well, he was with probably Baltimore than the Jets for his 2 head coaching stints where they did it. And he said, that's what he said. He said, you know, if you win, it's 2 weeks of unbelievable partying and celebrating your team and getting ready for a Super Bowl. If you lose, nobody gives you anything. You just go home.
Yeah.
You know? And you're right. And it's just, that's it. It's like, bam. It's the finality of it all. It's really, that's what it is to me, the finality of it all. Just ends so quickly. And that's what's, you know, hurting today for a lot of people listening here. All right, Zach's going to take you the rest of the way here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. But I will be in the locker room. Keep it here because I'm going to be sticking some microphones in for some guys who are talking starting at 11:30 here in just a little while. So hopefully we'll get to some players in the locker room. We can get you some live sound from the locker room. We will have sound at WGR550.com and on the Odyssey app as well. So, Zach, I'll be talking to you in a little while from over at One Bills Drive as I make my way over to the locker room.
Sounds good. We'll hear then.
All right. We'll talk to you, and then we'll take a timeout, and Zach and Josh will come back here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show.
I got so much pride in our guys showing up each and every day, working as hard as they can. Guys truly adopted what we talked about this year going into it. Yeah, love these guys.
That is Buffalo Bills quarterback Josh Allen in the postgame yesterday. A tough listen for Allen. Didn't speak for very long, I think under 5 minutes. You could tell in the moment, not surprising by any means, you could tell in the moment he was crushed by that loss. He himself statistically didn't have a bad game, really, by any means. 22 for 34, 237 yards, 2 touchdowns, 11 rushing attempts, 39 yards. But the tush-push was not going anywhere at all for the Bills. They got a few first downs from it, but it was constantly up in the air if they actually got it. None of it was convincing. Allen himself, the day started terrifyingly. His first 2 passing attempts of the game, both should have been picked. He settled down a little bit, and then to end the game, just not great. It's an all-time throw by him, but it's a prayer of a throw, really. It just happens to be in the right spot. Kincaid doesn't come down with it, but it was just the game never felt like it was becoming the Bills game. It constantly felt like they were chasing. We've talked a lot about that throughout this year of the Bills forcing teams to chase them. It felt like the Bills were chasing the Chiefs the whole night, even when they had the lead for a little while as well. There was a period there in the second half where they're up 22-21. If they score a touchdown, go up 8, and really start to lean on the Chiefs, just never materialized at all. And it's another frustrating end to a season where the only team that has not been the Chiefs that's eliminated the Bills in the playoffs is the Bengals. And that's it. They seemingly get through everyone else except the Chiefs. And I think, you know, this morning and where I'm at, and I'm not saying I'm over it, but I'm already on to looking at mock drafts and stuff like that. I looked up when Formula One winter training begins and stuff like that. And, you know, life goes on. But this was maybe the first time since I could argue, I'd say after 2020, it kind of just felt like, man, are you just ever going to be able to be better than that guy? With Mahomes, you know, but it was still so early in everyone's careers. You know, there was no reason to believe you couldn't. It just, at the time, it didn't feel great. You were blown out. You had a 9-0 lead, and after that, it was over. Yesterday, I can honestly say, felt like the first time for me the Jordan comparisons made sense. Up to yesterday, it always felt like the Michael Jordan, Patrick Mahomes comparisons were people reaching. You know, Jordan is a living god in sports for a lot of people. And you know, even watching the Last Dance stuff, and y'all kind of found out there was a little bit of a screw loose for him, and how he was able to just formulate any kind of slight against him to build himself up. And then of course he himself was just maybe one of the most athletic, physically gifted basketball players of all time. So it felt so grandiose to have that comparison for Mahomes. Last night felt like the first time for me where it was like, oh, that might be legit. He might actually just be 90s Michael Jordan in the NFL, where everyone else is just going to be the Hakeems, the Ewings, the Karl Malones, the Charles Barkleys. Where there's a ton of Hall of Fame talent all over the place. Y'all might end with no rings. And you just hope you got to a finals, a Super Bowl, once in your career. Burrow got there. And to be fair, the longer we go away from that Super Bowl, the more impressive it becomes. Not that he won it, he didn't. The fact that he got there. The fact that they did beat the Chiefs in Arrowhead in the playoffs. I know it's kind of a running joke now that we give him almost too much credit to it, but to be fair, it's becoming more and more impressive. But last night was maybe the first time that I felt like I just don't know how anyone's going to get past them. They elevate in the playoffs. Now, Kelsey's not going to play forever, and Reed probably won't coach forever. But right now, what they have with Spagnuolo and Reed and Mahomes and Kelsey still able to play at the level he is playing at, Chris Jones, and even now with George Karlaftis, what they've got going on there, it just feels like situationally there may not be a better team out there. Let's go to the locker room. Ty Johnson speaking with the media.
You know, you're one of four left. That's what, 200 and some players still playing. It's a good feeling. You know, you can't really put into words. You know, things need to be cleaned up. Some plays didn't go our way, and you wish they did, but that was just the result.
Mm-hmm. Ty, have you had a chance to process this loss? Is it still kind of a state of shock?
I got in at 3 a.m., so not really, and I'm here right now. So, again, good feeling. You know, kudos to the Chiefs and everything, but, you know, we just didn't play our best ball and some calls didn't go our way. And, so we're here. We're going to be watching. So that's it.
What do you think about your future here? I know you're a free agent, about coming back next year.
I don't know. We'll see. If everything works out, you know, that'll be the case. But I don't know. Just let everything play out how it plays out. Get some rest. Let the next few weeks go by and see what happens.
Thanks, Ty. That was Ty Johnson, guys.
Ty Johnson there with the media. Some colorful language as well. And it's understandable. It's understandable. You're one of the final four. And it you're right there. And I think there is a sense of positivity of this was the year in transition, the whole thing. They still won 13 games. They ran away with the AFCs. They blew it apart. They got a great playoff win over Baltimore. You know, they did get further than years past. I don't want to look, you know, past some of the positivity because of one loss. But, man, it is a deflating feeling up to this point. 803-0550, the number two call. Before we get our next player with the media, let's take a few calls as well. Let's go to Tim here on the line. Tim, how are we doing this morning?
Oh, great. Thanks for taking my call. Listen, I just wanted to say that, as you had said, it was a great year. We kind of forgot. Like I told my sister and my wife, just let's enjoy the run. And we did. We had a lot of excitement, better than we thought. But on that thing, I look at and I was upset when they made that first-round draft choice back then. We've been looking, you've been talking about it, and Sal and most people, about the speed. Mm-hmm. And we gave away that, not because of Kansas City, like Sal talked, but we gave that away. And and we don't have speed. We don't have it. Why in midseason did we get, I forgot his name already, but the
Mark
guy.
Mark Cooper, yep.
Yeah, Mark, he didn't do too much, that. So, and that said, we do need that. We know it. And then I think they got to give up on Kyrie Elam. He's a bust. It is what it is. But what's sad, the Bills were right there, even with the calls that maybe were questionable. What is sad, two things. Okay, we didn't do the last thing. But it was third and nine in Kansas City. minute 30 to go, whatever it was. We stopped them. We get the ball back with minute 10 to go. We still didn't stop them. So we could have got it back again. So that's what's kind of sad. Did they give up right then? That's basically what I'm saying. But I do somewhat – look, Brandon Bean has put a heck of a team together. He has. But I do think they blew it. I listened to a guy on another channel. He said, listen, what have they done? Kyrie Irving in 2024. 2023, we had Kincaid and Coleman this past year. They caught three passes between two of them. These are number one draft choices.
Yep.
So something is wrong on the top. I'm not listening to get rid of them. They got a great organization. Mm-hmm. But I think we could do better. So I'll hang up and listen to you. Thank you.
Tim, thanks for the call. And, yeah, it's tough. I give Brandon Bean a lot of credit because I think he gets a lot of great steals in the later rounds. You even look at guys like Dorian Williams, the third-round pick. And, I mean, we were having talks not that long ago before Milano really started to come into his own of playing Williams over him. He was playing incredibly, incredibly well. Terrell Bernard is a third-round pick, and you would argue he is one of the best middle linebackers in the league, but just not great up the top. Let's go now back to the locker room. Alec Anderson with the media.
I don't know, man. I wasn't out there, so I couldn't really tell you anything. I think, the guys gave their all. Everybody gave their whole effort into the entire game, and, it just fell short. It wasn't what it was, and so, yeah.
A guy that wears your emotions on your sleeves a lot. Have you processed this yet? Has it hit yet?
Yeah, it hit. It stings a lot, especially, now that I'm playing. It just stings a little bit more. Last 2 years you're on practice squad, and then last year you're inactive, and it's like, ah, darn. Like, it hurts and it sucks, but, I shed a few tears last night. I was really, really upset about it just because, you want to go out there, and as a competitor, I hate losing, and to lose on that big of a stage is just like, ah. It sucks, but it's a good chance to kind of look at it and move on from now and just kind of go into the off season and relax and come back next year really into high gear and lick our wounds and move on.
Speaking of next year, this entire offensive line is back next year. I mean, how does that make you feel knowing that this whole group, is basically coming back next year?
I think it's amazing. I think that everybody has the chemistry here, and I think that we'll benefit from it even more. Everybody staying here together and, having one whole year together and now going into a second whole year together, I think that the communication and the teamwork aspect is just going to be phenomenal.
Different feel for you going into this offseason than before now that you have a role with the offense?
Yeah, I think it's, more of a chance to kind of perfect my craft, Nothing will ever be perfect 100%, so it's always that, goal for me to try and get there. And I think that this offseason it pushes me more knowing that everybody else is coming back. It's, going to be more competition, and I kind of am looking forward to it, and I think it'll be fun. And I'm really looking forward to, this offseason and, going into my technique and really diving deep into it.
How and where will you do that? What's your offseason plan?
I think I'm going to start out by going to Hawaii and then come back here and just kind of chill in Buffalo. I'll be around here majority of the time training with Siano and everybody.
Thanks, Alec.
Yep.
That was Alec Anderson there with the media. Hawaii, great vacation spot. Cannot recommend it enough. That's another thing. We were just talking with the caller there of the Bills draft history. Alec Anderson ultimately undrafted, but in 2022, they find him, and he's become an integral part in their offense, being that sixth offensive lineman in what they do in the run game. He's been an integral part to that. But looking real quick here at the early draft picks of the McBean era, McDermott and Brandon Bean. Josh Allen picked in 2018. We know that. Then you go to 2019. Ed Oliver and Cody Ford are your first and second round pick. Oliver, look, he's got moments where he's amazing. He's also got moments where he's completely disappearing on the field. Much of this year was that. He eventually got there, but it felt like 14 games. I don't know if that's the exact number, but it felt like it took forever for him to get going. Cody Ford, a complete bust, flat out. It seemed like they kind of botched his development as well. He probably should have been a guard from day one, and it didn't really ever seem like they knew what to do with him. To 2022 or to 2020, you ultimately don't have a first-round pick because it's Stephon Diggs. Your first pick in that draft is the second round. It's AJ Epenesa, who I think is kind of just a guy. He had essentially a redshirt year to get his body right for the NFL, and since then he's been okay. He's had splash plays, but nothing crazy. Zach Moss in the third round, you moved off of him pretty quickly. He's been an okay serviceable running back in the NFL. To 21, it's Rousseau and Basham. Spencer Brown taken in the third round, that's a hit of a pick, no doubt. Even Hamlin in the sixth round has been a hit of a pick as well. But Rousseau, I think, is better than Epinesa. But if you're looking at their total sack numbers, he has four more than him in their career. And again, kind of just like a guy. He has moments where he flashes. He has moments where he is completely disappearing on the field. And we go games, it seems, where they're not getting any pressure on quarterbacks. Yesterday being a perfect example of that. And then Boogie Basham, they went back-to-back edge rushers. Basham was never a guy for this team, 4.5 sacks in his NFL career. Then to 22, Kyrie Elam, probably the biggest miss so far of the McBean era. He, I believe, is unplayable. I said it last night, and I was there. Two pass interference calls pretty quickly into his stint, and he was targeted relentlessly throughout the game. But then James Cook in the second round there, he has been a hit. I think he's a better back than maybe a lot of people thought he was going to be. And then Bernard, I mentioned, he's your starting middle linebacker for the next 5-6 years. I think he's amazing. And then Khalil Shakir as well. I think we all know how I feel about him. He's your best receiver. But you need more on the outside. You need more boundary guys. And Christian Benford in the sixth round. But I don't know where that goes. He has two concussions in back-to-back weeks. That is frightening going forward. And he looked bad after that hit. He really looked in a bad spot. So I think he's a wonderful player. I don't really know where you go from there. And then 23, we all know Kincaid, Torrance, and Dorian Williams. I like Torrance. He's starting on your offensive line literally from day one. He's yet to miss a game. Dorian Williams, one of your outside linebackers, he's been great, especially filling in for Matt Milano. Kincaid, I'm completely disappointed by him. I'm tired of acting like he's great because little numbers love him. That's where I'm at. I don't care that he's in this whatever percentile of getting open. He's not catching passes. He's not a focal point of the offense, and he still isn't. And we saw it last night, and the caller brought it up. What was it for Kincaid and Coleman? It was like 3 catches for 29 yards between the two of them, and that was it. And then you get to 24. It's Coleman, Bishop, Carter, Ray Davis. Bishop, we all think, is maybe the safety of the future. Coleman never really became a factor in the offense. Injury may have played a factor into that. It is still early. Ray Davis, though, seems to be a good find in the fourth round. Going to take a quick time out here, 803-0550, the number two call. We may be able to fit into a few more calls here before we get you over to One Bills Live at the top of the hour. Zach Jones, Josh Mint hanging with you here for just a few more minutes. This is WGR. Welcome back, everyone. Zach Jones, Josh Schmidt, hanging out with you here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. We're going to go back now to One Bills Drive. Sal Capaccio is there, speaking with a lot of players now on Locker Cleanout Day. Sal, we've heard from Alec Anderson and Ty Johnson so far. What do you see in there, though, at One Bills Drive?
Yeah, there's not many players, in the locker room right now, but the ones that we see, we're trying to, get a few words from. Alec Anderson was out here, as you heard. Ty Johnson was out here, as you heard. And I just spoke with Osiris Torrance at length. Really interesting answer he gave about the final fourth down play and the pressure that was brought. And he said something interesting. He said, typically, the Chiefs on film would blitz from where they weren't showing. So since they were showing the right side of the Bills' offense, they slid protection left. Does that make sense? Because they typically come from the opposite side they're showing. But in this case, they came from the side they were showing. And that's why Josh Allen got pressure on that play.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, it's been a play. I've seen a lot of people dissecting it. Ben Solak of ESPN, he's kind of taking a little bit of heat for how he's talking about it. But
Listen, I don't agree with what Ben said about Josh being able to get it to Khalil Shakir right away. He his eyes go off him immediately as he's got to move.
Well, yeah, because he's got two guys right in his face flying at him.
I don't agree with that. But Osiris said it, and I agree. Okay, that's just a better play call by the Kansas City Chiefs.
Mm-hmm.
You'd love to have the better play call than them. It's a chess match. It's a football game. It's professional sports. It's a lot of people get paid a lot of money to do this for a living, and they had a better play call on that particular play. And obviously we know ball was floated up, and Dalton Kincaid had it hit his arms, unable to come down with it as well. So, there's a lot that happened on that play, but that's the way Osiris Torrance talked about it. 12 free agents scheduled, 12 unrestricted free agents for the Bills. We just heard from Ty Johnson. He's one of them. He'll said he'll let it play out again. Of course, they brought him back last year. We'll see if they do that again. But I think after the year he had, he might have a little bit more of a market this year,
Ty
Johnson. So we'll see where that goes. People can find the free agents. I tweeted them out at Sal Sports on X. So if you want to check the list of names there, I believe Josh Allen is going to speak at the podium
today. I don't know exactly what time. And then we'll get some more players here as well. And also, and at some point, Sean McDermott, Brandon Bean this week. And as soon as we know all that, we'll keep everybody updated. All the sound that you hear from today can be found at WGR550.com and on the Odyssey app.
Thank you, Sal. Great season as always. It's a tough ending, but we'll get through it.
You got it. Thank you.
That was Sal Capaccio there on the Western Hotline down at One Bills Drive, as it is, of course, locker cleanout day today for the Buffalo Bills. It is always a sad day, no matter what team it is, no matter where you're at in your build as a franchise. It's always a frustrating day because, man, it is a long wait for the next season to begin. The only positive, at least the weather's getting better. That's going to do it for us today. One Bills Live. Coming up next, 3 hours, they break down the Bills' loss to the Kansas City Chiefs in the AFC Championship game. This is WGR.